Doug Jensen is the Aquatic Invasive Species Program Coordinator, University of Minnesota Sea Grant Program. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
Well, we've also talked about habitattitude. And I want to get into that a little bit more because we spend a lot of time talking about, you know, boaters and fishermen and anglers and this kind of stuff. But there are other ways that these invasive species can get into our systems besides the obvious one and the one that the big campaign is on as far as the DNR is concerned, but which is important. But there are some a little more subtle things that we maybe don't think of.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there are other ways in which aquatic invasive species can spread, and one way that's sometimes overlooked is water gardening and aquarius. And folks don't necessarily think of a goldfish or a koi in their water garden or in their aquarium as something that can become invasive. But once released into our local waters, they can become very invasive. In fact, we had an issue back in 2004 at Rock Pond on the UMD campus where a goldfish and koi had been released. And they're causing a lot of problems with water quality and the discharge from Rock Pond into Tissue Creek, which is a designated trout stream.
Ooh. So these species, how do they disrupt the system?
Yeah, the goldfish and the koi, when they're feeding, they stir up the sediment. They feed on the bottom, and when that sediment gets up into the water column, it makes the water more turbid, darker, and then when sunlight hits that drives the dissolved oxygen concentration down. And the problem with the discharge is with the water that was being discharged from Rock Pond into Tissue Creek, it was much warmer than what the trout could stand. And so there was a massive effort to try to eradicate, and fortunately we're successful in getting rid of the goldfish and the other fish that happened to be in the pond. So it's a good news, bad news sort of story. The good news is that we were able to do something about it and able to protect Tissue Creek by draining down the pond, but the bad news is that, you know, we know that these things are happening other places, and if it wouldn't have been in Rock Pond, if it would have been into another water body, there would have been virtually nothing we could do about it.
Well, I've noticed that in some outdoor publications, there's quite a bit of advertising about how to keep aquatic plants down around your beach and in areas where you might be fishing. Now, there's kind of pros and cons about that. First of all, not all aquatic vegetation is invasive. And how do you walk the fine line on that?
Yeah, it is a real fine line, isn't it? The bottom line is that we need to embrace our aquatic plants. Love our aquatic plants.
I see. Okay.
So that's the first thing. There are permits that are required for removal of aquatic plants, and so you'd have to get in contact with the DNR to find out what size of an area that you can remove aquatic plants in front of your property. And there's some fairly strict regulations because, you know, it's not just that if one person does plant removal, it's that if multiple property owners all do this plant removal, that can really impact the system and really impact the fishery and the quality of the lake. And so we just have to be really careful about that.
Hopefully being proactive will make some difference. So we'll be back to you soon.
All right. Sounds very good.
Thank you very much. We've been speaking with Doug Jensen. He's the Aquatic Invasive Species Program Coordinator at University of Minnesota Sea Grant Program down in Duluth. Thanks much.
This interview is part of WTIP's Exploration of Environmental Stewardship. The series is funded in part by the Wharton and Family Fund and the Global Awareness Fund of the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation.